Philippians chapter 4, if you are new here, my name is Jeremy. We are just walking through the book of Philippians, and today we're in chapter 4, verses 2 through 7. So these are Stephen and I were talking. Where, Stephen, where are you at? We were talking about, here you are, talking about this week. And these are some of the verses that I feel like I go to these verses all the time, both in my own heart and when I'm counseling people or talking to people about life. These are just some really encouraging verses. And my prayer for you is that you can find encouragement, particularly verses 4 through 7. I would encourage you to memorize them, okay? And it's, the first few verses, I'm going to kind of come at you a little hot, okay? And then I'll calm down a little bit, and it'll be easier, the last half. But I think there's a good challenge in here in these first few verses, and there's some really good promises here toward the end. If you'd like to fill in blanks, you can grab this. I'm probably going to be drinking water today, so my bad on that. But kind of fighting the sinus-y stuff, so... All right, verse 2. I entreat Euodia and Syntyche. I did write down the phonics on my paper, okay? Lest you think I'm smart. I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of you, my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Good word here. Paul's going to encourage them in this first paragraph, these ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. I think there's a lesson for us here, and then we'll look at these verses 4 through 7. But the first really 3 points on your paper are this. Number one, Paul entreats Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Okay? Now, we don't know the specifics of their disagreement, but we do know that it was significant enough for Paul to address it, right? So Paul's going to address this, that they need to agree in the Lord. Tell these ladies to put aside whatever differences they have and agree in the Lord. And not only is he going to tell them to agree in the Lord, the next point there, Paul encourages the leaders of the church to do what? To help these women agree in the Lord. Now, important for us to get this. I want you to think about your life, my life, these last few years. I think that if we're honest, some of us, all of us probably in some regards, have found ourselves in a disagreement or division inside the church with other brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Whether it's over this, that, or the other. You fill in the blank, okay? You fill in the blank, you fill in whatever. But the encouragement in the New Testament is for you and I to set aside our divisions and learn to agree in the Lord, okay? Because of the last point there, and I'll hit all this together. Because of the common bond we have in Christ, you and I have a responsibility as followers of Jesus to set aside those disagreements and to agree in the Lord. And not only for you and I to do that, but to help one another agree in the Lord. To help one another learn to set aside our disagreements because of the common bond we have in Christ and agree in the Lord. And I was just thinking through this, okay, just in my own mind. To put yourself in the shoes of Euodia or Syntyche or the leaders of the church. Think about the kind of things that have to be present for you to agree in the Lord with someone you disagreed with, and even for you to allow the leaders of your church to help you agree in the Lord. I'm just thinking through that just in my own mind. In a world, okay, that is so divided and that's so individualistic that you and I would actively set aside the things that have caused disagreements and learn to and agree to agree in the Lord. And not only that we would do that, we would help one another do that. I think the first thing that requires is humility. It requires a level of humility to say, you know what? I can set aside being right for the sake of unity. I'm going to set aside whatever thing, pride that I have I'm going to set that aside because I want to agree in the Lord with my brothers and sisters. That requires a level of humility, both from Euodia and Syntyche. I would say it also requires a level of love on the part of the leaders. That these leaders in this church that Paul's encouraging them is that they've got to get into the mud, all right? They got to, as Ray Colvin talks about here at church, like our job is when everyone else is running away from the fire, we're running toward it. We're running toward the disaster, not away from it. We're here to help each other agree. And Lord, that requires a level of love. It requires the ability to speak the truth in love, right? And it requires a good relationship between everybody that's involved to help one another agree in the Lord. Why? Okay? Why? Because of the common bond that we have in Christ. Look, church, we're going to disagree with each other from time to time. We're going to. That's part of being a body, okay? We're going to disagree. We're going to have sin. We're not going to be perfect in everything. That shouldn't surprise you. And in this season that we've been through, there's been more dissension in the church than any time that I could ever remember. I pray that we can help each other remember that as followers of Christ, we can disagree on a myriad of issues and have a common bond and anchor of our soul in Jesus. What is that common bond and anchor of our souls? What does he tells them? He says, remind these women of this. Go back to verse 3. Yes, he says, I ask you, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. He says, look, agree in the Lord because of Jesus. Because Jesus has written your name and her name in the book of life, you should agree in the Lord. There's a common bond, an anchor of our souls. Ephesians 4 says this, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another. And I talk about this verse, I think it's important, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I would just remind us that the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is maintained. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't just, ooh, okay, where's unity? No, unity is, it's like your grass, okay? It has to be maintained or you get a letter from the city. We have to maintain unity. We have to pursue it. How do we do that? We agree in the Lord. We set aside our differences because of the greater bond we have in Jesus, right? And I'm not going to name the differences, even though I threatened to this morning. But I think it was the Afrin. We're not going to... But there's... Church, there's no difference that this world could use to divide you that is greater than the bond that you have in Christ with your brothers and sisters. Okay? And so I would entreat you, as Paul does here, to agree in the Lord. Psalm 133:1 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. So here's the hard question I've had to ask myself this week, and I want to ask you. Have you allowed an issue to come between you and your brothers and sisters in Christ over the last few years? Have you allowed something that, though important, isn't something that should cause dissension and division between brothers and sisters? And if so, I will entreat you the way Paul entreats Euodia and Syntyche here, to agree in the Lord, to learn to agree in the Lord. If you have an issue that you would like to have an elder or pastor or leader of the church come alongside you and work out with somebody, we would be more than happy to do that. And look, I was even thinking about this in my heart. There may be people in your life that they don't even know that you've allowed bitterness to set up shop in your heart because they don't even know about it. You've allowed division to turn into bitterness inside of you towards someone, and they don't even know it. Can I encourage you to do something? I would encourage you to reach out to them, to ask for forgiveness for that. And I know you think, man, I don't want to do that. Can I tell you that when you do that, when brothers dwell together in unity, it brings peace and it glorifies God. These are the kind of things that God calls us to do as his people. That we would agree in the Lord, we would help each other agree in the Lord, and we would pursue peace and maintain a spirit of unity in the bond of peace. Okay? That's the hard part of the message. Go to verse 4. I think they're connected though, okay? I think 2 and 3 are connected to 4 through 7. I don't think that was just like some parenthetical reference. I think Paul's going, Euodia, Syntyche, you need to agree in the Lord. Leaders, you need to help them agree in the Lord. And here's how we do that. Here's what that pursuit can look like. This. Rejoice, he says in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. So do not be anxious about anything. Because the Lord is at hand, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, how do we do this? How do we be guarded by peace? How do we pursue agreement in the Lord? The first thing he tells them to do is to rejoice, right? To rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice because of why? Rejoice, what he says in verse 3, because your names are written in the book of life. Not rejoice because you're right or because your side won or whatever. Rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. Jesus has saved us from our sins. He has seen us in our sin. He's seen us in our misery, and he has saved us. We can rejoice in the Lord together, right? 2, verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to all. It's interesting to me, the word reasonableness also is translated gentleness, right? Let your gentleness be made known to all. Let your reasonableness be known to all. What if, okay, I'm throwing this out there. What if, as followers of Christ, we were known for our, checks notes, reasonableness? What if we were known for our gentleness? Paul tells these people, tells Euodia and Syntyche and the leaders here, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I would say it again, rejoice. Be reasonable. Let your reasonableness be known to who? To everyone. That you are a reasonable person. You're a gentle person. Let your reasonableness be known to all. And he says, the Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near. Because the Lord is near, let your gentleness or reasonableness be known to all. And do not be anxious. I think those who are tied together, okay? I think the Lord being at hand helps us to not be anxious. If I believe the God of all creation, the sovereign ruler and sustainer of all things is near, then I will have no reason to be anxious. Right? I mean, when I stop and think about the Lord's goodness, when I stop and think about his hand in charge of all things, then I can breathe. I think when I think about the things that I get anxious about, I get anxious about the things that I want to control but can't, which is everything, right? We perceive danger. Dr. Saunders talked to, if you weren't here for our Gospel and Mental Health series, the first night, Dr. Saunders talked about anxiousness, and it was really helpful. I would encourage you to go listen to that on the website, but he talks about how we get anxious about perceived threats, and I get anxious about all those things, all right? And think, we think about things that are outside of us that might be a problem, that could happen, and so we get anxious about them. But if we believe the Lord is at hand, we trust that God is with us, then man, I'm not going to be anxious. Not just about all things. I don't want to be anxious about anything, as he says here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, what does he call us to do? He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So rejoice in the Lord always. Let your reasonableness be known to all. Remember the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray. It's a novel idea, right? What if the moment I feel anxious, I take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it with him? The things that I'm anxious about, whether it's current situations in my life or future things that I don't know about, what if in the moment of feeling anxious, I just take it to the Lord in prayer? That's a great discipline to learn. That when I feel anxious, when I sense that coming on. That my first response should be prayer. Right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, he says, by prayer and supplication, do what? Let your requests be made known to God. Give them to God. Whatever it is. You're nervous about that scholarship? You're nervous about your future or a job or health or whatever? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And what is he going to give you when you take it to the Lord in prayer? He tells us here at the end, okay? And what's going to happen? The peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So he calls us here to trust him, to take it to the Lord in prayer and to leave it there. I think so many times we take something to the Lord in prayer and then we pick it right back up when we're done, right? We take it to the Lord and we don't leave it there with him and trust him with it. We might pray about it, but we put it back on our backs and walk off with it. The picture here is not being anxious about anything, but in everything, about prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I leave it with him. And I'm going to trust him with it. And when I trust God with whatever that is, I'm going to experience something. I'm going to experience peace. Real soul-satisfying peace. Not peace like this world understands. And he says, the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What kind of peace? 2 points there. We're going to be out early today. It's a kind of peace that, number one, goes beyond our understanding, what he says. You can't explain it. And if you've walked through a trial or you've walked through loss and you've experienced this kind of peace, you understand what he's saying here. It's a kind of peace that you can explain to other people. I remember I preached my mom's funeral several years ago. I thought about this. Stephen, I thought about you in this recently. How in the world could you get up and honor your dad that way? I can tell you how. Because of a peace of God that surpasses understanding, right? It's the kind of peace that you can't know, you can only experience. He says, Jesus says in John 14, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus says, Jesus' peace, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it, do I give it to you. Because my peace isn't like the world's. So, he says, this is John 14, 27, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. It is a kind of supernatural peace that this world cannot comprehend. All right? The kind of peace that Jesus gives us when we drop the things at his feet. And the second part is, what does it do? What does this peace do? It's a deep, soul-satisfying peace. And what does it do? It guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Right? The peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard your hearts from loving the wrong things. It guards your mind from believing the wrong things. And look, I would just tell you, when you're in a season of difficulty or tragedy, the enemy is going to come at you with lies. Okay? The enemy's going to tell you things, going to want you to believe things and feel things that aren't true, particularly about whether or not God is good or not. Well, if God is good, why would he let this happen? If God is good, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he intervene in this way? You know what the peace of God will do for you in that? It will guard you. It'll guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. This is why we want to come to him with those things, right? That's why when I'm anxious, when I'm struggling, I want to bring it to the Lord, because when I come to him, the peace of God that surpasses our understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So, we're done, okay? A couple things, and we're out. Is there someone in your life that you have allowed dissension or division to grow, and you need to agree in the Lord with them? Or maybe someone's, that you say, you know what, I want to be a reasonable person that follows Jesus, and I'm going to go agree in the Lord with this person that I have had disagreement with. That would be a really spiritually mature thing for you to do today, okay? And I know there are some people, I get it. You know, Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 12. He says, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. I know there are some people in your life that you're like, you know what, I don't think I'm going to be able to live peaceably with them. But don't use that. I feel like sometimes we use that as a trump card, You know, we're like, they're unreasonable. I'm reasonable. They're unreasonable. I can't live in peace with them. Maybe you want to try, okay? Maybe you should try. Euodia, Syntyche. Maybe you ought to try. And then my second thing would be to encourage you, as Paul does here, that don't be anxious, okay? Whatever you're anxious about, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to him and leave it there. And I promise you, okay? I don't promise you this. If I promise you this, it wouldn't be worth anything. God promises you this, that when you do, the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, I pray that you would take it to the Lord in prayer. Would you join me as we pray together? Father, thank you for your word. I pray your spirit would help us to understand it. Lord, I do pray for unity in your church, not just here. I think we have a good unity here, but just in general in the church. There's been so much division over important things, but not things that should divide brothers and sisters in Christ who have a common bond and anchor of our soul, whose names are written in the book of life. And God, maybe it's really easy to forget that, because we're bombarded with so many messages, which is why we need our hearts and our minds recentered on the gospel together. Need that. I need that. And Lord, where there is division or hatred or bitterness, God, I pray your spirit would uproot that and bring forgiveness and peace. God, may we be a people that are reasonable, that are gentle, that aren't anxious, but bring our request to you quickly. Just be in a spirit of prayer to bring those things to you. And we thank you for this promise that you've given in Christ, that the peace of God, not the peace of this world, but the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, it will, not might, but it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, would you give us that, we pray? We need that today. And we need to believe that. We need to trust you in that. And I pray that you would provide all those things in Jesus' name.